you. Lord, we just thank you that we choose daily and now to put our whole attention on you and on your word, your truth. We honor your presence. We honor your word, Lord God. We choose to serve you with our whole heart. And Lord, we just thank you that you're just bringing revelation through your word today with clarity and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Anyone cut off on the way over to church today by some of my driving? Anyone? Anyone? No? Okay. How many people love being cut off while you're driving? Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. I've noticed some things because, you know, I'm so smart when I watch people drive. I start to see certain common reactions. Think about common reactions when you are cut off. You know, sometimes it's just a, you know, a loving reminder with a little blaring horn, honk, honk, you know, hey, you put my life at risk. But normally it's like a honk. You ever hear someone where they hold on to it for like a good mile? And then sometimes the rage because they put you and your family at risk, or just maybe good old-fashioned road rage because you had a bad day kind of comes out, all right? People do not like getting cut off, right? But it's more than on the road. How about being cut off in a relationship when a relationship goes south? Maybe you're dating someone and they don't respect your boundaries. They're blowing up your phone all the time. They're being like controlling. Get out, guys. Control is not of God, okay? Maybe they lie, they cheat. And at that point, there's a breakup, right? You break up. There is a cut off of communication, okay? But how many people know if you're on the receiving end of the breakup, you don't like the breakup, right? Sometimes people like get ahead of it. They sense a breakup's coming. And they're like, no, I break up with you. No, I break up with you. I broke up. And then they tell all their friends I broke up with them first. Ridiculous. All right. All right. Let's see. How about kids? We'll talk a little parenting. I'm doing some little parenting things in here as I'm learning. How about when a kid violates house rules? So they don't do their chores and they lie about it. They were supposed to mow the lawn. They go out with their friends. And, you know, there's consequences, right? Those consequences catch up with you. There are ramifications. So sometimes the consequences, they're cut off from that reward. So maybe they don't get to watch TV that night. Maybe they don't get their iPhone that afternoon. Maybe they don't get the blessing of that week's allowance because you gave them an allowance to mow the lawn, right? Okay? You know, if a teen, you know, is a violating some of those house rules. Maybe they didn't obey curfew. You know, they came in at 1 a.m. and everybody's like, all right. Maybe they're cut off from the freedom of using the car that weekend or their phone. You want to get a kid where it hurts. Oh, the phone. Okay. My teens are like, Sherry, shh. Okay. So, hey, this is good, consistent parenting. And it's just showing that, like, you know, parents honor their word. But no matter what, in all ages, now, come on, and whether you're cut off by a car, or how about this, cut off in a conversation, you ever been trying to say something really smart and vital and someone cuts you off? You're like, hey, you cut me off. No matter what, sometimes we, whether a kid or adult, we have our own version of a tantrum. We don't like being on the receiving end of being cut off. Okay? Being cut off is seen as grievous. It's a result normally of a wrong, a violation of a rule of what is right and wrong. Okay, now the title of my message today is Cut Off. Okay, there's my intro, because if I led with the statement, it's Circumcision Sunday, everybody be out the door right now. Yes, but listen, don't worry, it's not about that. And I did cut out all my really awkward, like blushing facts about it. It's an interesting read, okay, about different cultures. But we're talking about Genesis 17. All right, you guys can open up your Bibles to Genesis 17. We are talking about blood covenant. And last week, we really dug into a very profound dream that Abraham had. And then they go into this thing called circumcision, right? And essentially, I'll skip jokes. Should I do? No, I'm not. No, things are recorded. I was like, Lord, help me not to make jokes. Okay. Don't fear. We're not going to make it weird. We're not going to make it weird. All right. They're hard stuff in the Bible. Do you know people just cut things out? They just skip the hard stuff. I didn't even try that one. They just skip the hard stuff. So listen, this theology of circumcision is all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's in all these different scriptures. And we're going to take a Sunday to rightly divide the word of God, all right? And because how many people know there are legalists? You know there's legalists? You know religious people that drive me nuts? That they take a scripture out of context And they make it all about that one thing, their little pet scripture, their little pet thing, right? And then they're like, you need to obey all these Old Testament laws and rituals, and you need to do this and this and this, and I need to dress you, and you need to look a certain way, talk a certain way, and if you aren't just the way I want you to be, I'm going to make you feel bad about yourself, and I'm going to use God's name to shame you. Anyone else hate that? Yeah. Well, it's really wild. The New Testament Judaizers, and I'll talk about this at the very end, these were religious legalists that they just love rules. And it wasn't just so much they love rules for them. They love rules for other people. And they wanted to rub your face into all their rules, and they wanted to mold you and make you into, oh, really, more their image than God's. Okay? And it caused a lot of confusion and division and drama. And listen, we need to know how to rightly divide the word. Okay, the key scripture that they used to take all their rules out of context was this thing about circumcision in the Old Testament. So we need to understand this so you don't go down the train wreck of religion of you need to go through all these different rules and you need to dress a certain way and talk a certain way. And if not, you're not good enough. Everybody on the page, you know, are you excited about my message being cut off? Okay, here you go. Because it doesn't mean what you think it is. It's actually symbolic of our sinful nature being cut off. So I just cut to the chase here. All right. So here we go. All right, so we're talking about the scarlet cord. And what you're going to see is woven throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, woven is this sign that points to Jesus. And this one is mind-blowingly how much this points to Jesus. And you're going to be cheering and shouting, hopefully, at the very end. You're like, yes, let's talk about Jesus. Everybody excited about talking about Jesus? It all ties in. Yes. All right, let's see here. Where do we want to go here? All right, so the Hebrew word covenant we've been talking about, this word covenant from the Hebrew, berith, means to cut the flesh. Anybody ever get a paper cut? Okay, it wasn't just a little paper cut, surface wound. It actually mean to cut the flesh till blood flowed. I accidentally clipped my little boy's fingernail and then their finger, and I was like, I felt terrible for an entire week. And it was just so much from a little thing. I mean, blood was flowing, okay? Like you don't forget something like that. I don't. And, like, literally, I was a brat at this point. All the fingernail clipping goes to my husband. I don't even try. Like, literally, I'm like, honey, it's time. I can't do it. All right? But this word berith means cut till blood flows. It's gory. You can't forget it. And there's a reason why God wants you to not forget his promises. Okay, everybody's getting this. All right. The word blood covenant is an agreement between two different parties, right? Where all their debts, liabilities, and assets. Raise your hand if you have one of those. Raise your hand. You might probably have one more than the other. It's normally on the liability side in America right now in this economy. All right? And all the good stuff you ever did, all the bad stuff ever you did, good stuff, bad stuff, sins, shortcomings, strengths, weaknesses. Ready for this? All of our sin debt becomes one with God. How great is it that he takes your debt and goes, oh, you use the name of Jesus? Delete. Okay, listen, if someone deleted your mortgage debt, you'd be jumping and shouting right now, right? Come on. All right, so this is what he did with this blood covenant, all right? So today in Genesis 17, I want to talk about two blood covenant terms, and I'm going to explain them, but if you ever did a study on blood covenant, these terms would come up. The sign, okay, everybody see road signs, right? There's a sign that points to something, right? The sign points to your destination. The sign points to your destination, right? It's not the destination, it just points to it. And the signal, and how many people Batman fans? Anyone? Because if I don't get to it, I want to just, listen, I am a kid from the 90s. We didn't have all the other superheroes. We had them, but we just didn't do movies about them yet. Okay, Marvel hadn't taken over. It was all about Batman. Like, when I went to New York City, I always went to the Warner Brothers store and got a picture of the life-size Batman. I mean, I love Batman, all right? Now, listen, the signal when Commissioner Gordon needed to get Batman to fulfill his end of the contract, right? Batman says, I'm going to protect the city, right? All you got to do is call. I could sing some songs right now. All you got to do is call. What do? He put up the bat signal, right? All right, so we're talking about the sign that points to the destination, right? And the signal that we put up that triggers a reaction or triggers an action where someone fulfills their end of the deal or their promise. Commissioner Gordon got all the credit. Isn't it great? Listen, come on, who's a Batman fan? Do you want me to just do, like, you know, boring theology all the time? I love Batman. Commissioner Gordon, man, he got all the credit. And they were buds, right? And he's just like, Batman made a promise to protect our city. So when things get bad, I'm going to put up the signal. What? And the signal says, hey, action, action, we want action, right? Hey, this activates your promise that you're going to move in provision and protection on our behalf. And I just get to sit back and take the credit it to my account. All right, the sign and the signal, just in case we rush it at the end. All right, so we're going to catch up the story here. This is Genesis 17. Last week we talked about Genesis 15. So what happened in the middle? Abraham and Sarah really messed up. Anybody really mess up? Like, and it's good intentions. Guys, I'm telling you, what is sin? Sin means to miss the mark. Like, archery's big around here. I say it a long time. So, you know, you aim for the target. I got distracted. Whoops! And I hit someone, hit myself. I don't know. I hurt someone. I hurt myself. I messed up. I sinned, right? We're not trying to destroy our lives and everyone else's every day. All right, so they missed the mark. And they did a mess up. Okay, so Abram, he was called Abram at the time, and Sarai, these were their names prior, had a very far-reaching mess up 13 years prior to Genesis 17. And what this basically, for a nutshell, is this: God promised Abram, I'm going to give you not only land, I'm not only going to bless you and protect you, I'm going to give you descendants, as many as the stars in the sky. And that's where we left off last week, right? All right, so the catch is this: it's been 13 years. Yay, lucky number 13. Anybody waited for something for 13 years? I have. I start getting antsy, I start getting irritated, and I start looking for ways to get it done myself. Because how many people, listen, guys or girls, are you a get-it-done person? This is York County. York County's a get-her-done kind of place. Why? We are hardworking. We are number one in the state of Pennsylvania for industry. You want something done? You get it done in York County. How many factories and manufacturers do we have? These are people you look at fingernails, man. These are hardworking, right? Get her done. I tell you, you want something done? I know families that I can call, but we're not going to abuse them, right? They're the get her done family. So Abraham and Sarah, like, well, really, it's probably like Sarah's more like the get her done girl. And she's like, okay, I'm getting antsy. All right, we believe, God, that you're going to do this, but maybe you need a little help. Anyone? I like to help God sometimes and make a huge mess of it. They want to get things rolling a little bit sooner, because how many people know this? I have a great timeline in life. I'm so smart. I know exactly how God can help me out in the perfect way. Here's how you should do it, God. This is how my prayers are. Anybody's prayers like this? God, I want you to do it like this in this timing. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So it's not happening like that. It's 13 years later. And in their impatience, they're like, let's help God out. And it was, we make a mess. All right, so how do they help God out? Sarai has this really dumb idea, and it's a dumb idea if you're her servant. Real talk. And this is just, I'm just being real. Now, you have to now make it personal, this story. This was a different culture back then, but slavery and servanthood, when you don't really have a choice in a matter, you can't just quit your job. Like, you don't just quit your job in the middle of the desert and say, that's okay, I'm going to go put an application in at the caravan down the way. I'll try to find an oasis, right? You could die, truly. And these are like good bosses. So, you know, when she goes to her servant, Hagar, an Egyptian, okay, from a different culture, and I did some study where she came from. Remember, Abram went to Egypt for a season. And anyway, there's a long story short, there were gifts that were given to him. Hagar didn't probably have much of a choice when Sarah's like, hey, I'm going to give you to my husband, who's 86. No, listen, no offense. Stay in the same stage of life, y'all, okay? Listen, okay? Don't be dating high schoolers, y'all. It's gross, okay? Stop it. Now, hear me out. Okay, so he's like, yeah. I don't think she's really excited about that, okay? All right, and this is outside of a marriage commitment. And as a wife, I wouldn't be excited about that either. But we're trying to make something happen. All right, so Hagar has a son because Abram says, okay, you know what, let's help God out. You know, I'll do what my wife says. He has sexual relations with his servant Hagar, and they say she's probably in her 20s. So, 80s to 20s, she has a son. and her son's name is Ishmael. And they call his name, this is significant, his name Ishmael, and Ishmael means God hears. This is interesting. Ishmael is their idea, right? Okay? And it's done I mean, literally, like, come on, guys, like, sex outside of marriage, not cool, right? And they give God credit. This is from God, okay? And so it's not from him, right? And he's like, don't give me credit for this. I was going to do something so much bigger. I was going to do it so much bigger than this. So let me just set the record straight. He's like, I'm going to still bless Ishmael, right? Because I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family, right? And he said, I'm going to cover Ishmael and take care of you. How good is the grace of God? And he became a great nation, and we don't even have time to dig into it, but it's wild, okay? But he says this, hey, I'm still going to perform my promise, but not through your own striving, not through your own kind of giving me help and things like that. I'm going to do it my way and my timing. I've fallen into this, guys. And listen, he will still bless you and he will still cover you, right? He just wants you. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish, right? So he's like, let me just get him back on track, okay? So I get wild glory. Don't put God in a box on your timing or your way. So now this is 13 years later. Ishmael is 13 years old, and we're going to pick up Genesis 17, 1 through 2. All right, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Everybody say Almighty God. Whew, I'm so much bigger. I'm going to blow your mind. That's what God's saying. Walk and live habitually before me. So he's like, hey, your job is to stay close with me, walk with me, talk with me every day. That sounds like a really good end of the deal. Right? With integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence. This is the Amplified. Stay in his presence. Stay walking with him. Stay talking with him. And then, this is interesting, this gets taken out of context. He says, and be blameless. Okay? The Amplified Bible and many other more accurate translations, a better word of that word, blameless, because you're like, I need to be perfect. He's calling Abraham to be perfect so he can bless him. Lost in translation. Guys, once again, how many people speak a couple languages, and sometimes we pick a word that's not the best translation. Okay, if you read other translations, a more accurate is, ready for this, be whole before me. Ready for this? Be wholehearted. Now it makes sense. Walk with me. Talk with me. Stick close in my presence. Be wholehearted with me. I want your whole heart. I want all of your attention. I want all the credit. I want you, Abram. Stick with me. Now, oh, you're like, now I can do that, right? I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm sticking with you with my whole heart. This is all going to tie in at the end, okay? He wants a total commitment, because what Abraham believed God, he had faith, right? Faith was the qualifier. We talked about it last week for the covenant. But how many people know 13 years later, you're going to get a little shaken, right? And he's like, hey, stay wholehearted with me. Stay fully focused on me. Stay fully committed. It's just a reminder. Okay, this Hebrew covenant, this word covenant now, actually, and I won't go into like the Hebrew specific word for lack of butchering it. Okay, he's going to talk about the covenant again. He's not talking about a new covenant. He's talking about the same covenant. He is reaffirming. He keeps going back. How many parents, you give your kid a promise, hey, at the end of the summer, listen, we're going to Hershey Park. Don't you love a kid that's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How about this? Well, we're going to go to Florida. We're going to Disneyland or whatever. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay. So what? He's just reaffirming. We're going to Disneyland. We're going to Hershey Park. Okay. We're going to get there. Okay. He is affirming this covenant again. And he does it with more dramatic expressions. How many people know that my kids were asking why a lot now? So, you know, they ask it one time, you're like, okay, yeah. And then you kind of get like more expressive. Like, buddy, trust me, I'm mom, I got you. You know, like, so he's trying to give more and more expressive examples of I got you, okay? The Bible is full of promises that are living promises for us today. But how many people know we need a reminder? How many people need a reminder when they're in doubt? I do. So God is giving these expressive, dramatic, loving, powerful reminders. All right? All right, Genesis 17, 3 through 5 and 15. Now, I got a lot of scripture to read. And, you know, the Lord sometimes, when I look at a time constraint, he's like, let my scripture speak for itself. Okay? So pay attention. Don't check out when we're reading. All right? Genesis 17, 3 through 5, and verse 15. At this, Abram fell on the ground. So he's like, hey, I promised you. Trust me, right? He reinstates his promise. Oh, sorry, verse 2. It says, I will establish my covenant, an everlasting promise between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants. He's just saying, I got you. I keep going back to the promise I already gave you. All right? And then it says, at this, Abraham fell down on the ground, and God said to him, and that's just his way of honoring, right? And then the Lord said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. How many people know God does not change? He doesn't change. He changes us. Isn't that great? God doesn't change. He's the most consistent. What? The promises of God are yes and amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not changing. I'm going to change you. And I'm going to start by giving you a new name. So every time someone says your name, it reminds you of the promise. I'm doubling down on my promise to you. Okay? He changes his name. You're no longer going to be called Abram. Instead, you're going to be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. Double down, all right? Regarding Sarai, your wife, this is verse 15, her name will no longer be just Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and give a son from her. And yes, I will bless her richly, and she'll become the mother of many nations. It means princess of nations. Oh my goodness, double down, right? And kings of nations will be among her descendants. All right. God's covenant doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's going to change us to get us ready. And to what? Stir our faith. Stir our faith. Genesis 17, 6 through 7. Okay? Remember, God chose Abram because of his faith, not because he is perfect. God chose Abram because Abram walked with God. He talked to him. He walked with him. He stayed in his presence. He was far from perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. Gosh, he was caught in a lot of lies. What? Okay. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into a nation. Kings will come from you. Reminder, reminder, reminder. I will establish you. Okay, New Living Translation says confirm. I will confirm. He's looking now, ready to confirm his word. If you don't believe me, now I'm going to give you something you can never forget. Now we're getting there, guys. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and your offspring after, throughout their generations, from an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you. I will be their God. Okay, Abram, you know, you're getting antsy. You're getting impatient. You're starting to kind of like try to help me out too much. You're starting to make too many messes. Listen, you're forgetting. I keep reminding you. I got you. We're almost there. We're almost there. Kinda. So I think you need a sign. Okay, listen, we've talked about this in past, right? The sign of my marriage covenant. You know, sometimes you forget to put your ring on. Okay, real talk. Anybody know you're supposed to sometimes, I have a soft stone. I don't have a diamond in here. I have a beautiful emerald. This you're not supposed to use cleaning products on, so you take this off. Has anyone ever left the house and you forgot to put your ring on? And I will wheel around and try to put my ring on. But how many people know if you forget the sign, you're still married legally, right? It's just really good, right, wise? We want our very attractive husband that is going to the gym to be wearing that sign, right? Give everyone else a sign, okay? So listen, this is interesting. God's now going to give him a sign. And you're like, why can't it just be a cool ring on your finger? Here we go. We're going to talk about it. Okay, this sign of the blood covenant was a sign of what? Commitment. It was a sign of recognition of God's promises and his plans. It was an external guarantee for Abraham of an invisible spiritual union, right? Like marriage, right? Okay, it's a visible outward token or symbol to represent an agreement. This is what it means by the sign of the covenant. And what's the sign? Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Oh, here we go. This is the law of first mention. It is the very first time in the Bible the word circumcision was ever mentioned. In a scriptural interpretation you learn in Bible school or seminary, always note the context. This sets the game. These are the rules. You can't change the rules down the way, right? This, it's all about this. Now, by the way, circumcision was done in other ancient cultures. We don't have time for it. Interesting facts. Even in Egypt, okay? But he's saying this. He said, hey, I want you, hey, listen, anyone that's an adult, yay, you need to get circumcised as a sign that you're never going to forget. How many people know you're never going to forget that one, okay? All right, and if you have any child born to your house, it says in verse 12, they need to get circumcised on the eighth day. Fascinating. They didn't know this in ancient times, but they did studies in modern times. The safest time to have your little baby circumcised is actually on the eighth day. They have the most vitamin K in their body, which is a coagulant that keeps their blood clotting, which is important. There's another one that I can't pronounce. Okay, there's two things that are in peak place in that baby that is the safest time to get circumcised. Interesting. Okay? All right. Now, the word circumcision sometimes makes you blush, sometimes makes you uncomfortable because it's gross, it's bloody, but it is just a sign. Remember the road sign? It's not the destination. It just points to the destination. Remember the ring? It's just a sign of my marriage, okay? Abraham's doing some dumb stuff right now. It's not because he doesn't have faith. He's just getting impatient. He's trying to help God. And he's like, let me give you a sign. All right. This sign of the covenant is intimate. It's vulnerable, all right? It is the scarlet cord, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. This is what it's pointing to. It's going to point directly to Jesus, all right? Genesis 17, 13, it says, so my covenant will be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. New Living Translation says, your bodies will bear the mark, the sign, the badge of an everlasting covenant. All right, so here's the question of the hour. Why did God, out of all the signs, pick circumcision? Dude, once again, give me a pretty ring on my finger. Give me a cool tattoo. Like, I'll put it right here on my arm. You know, like, you know, the way you roll your sleeves off to show your cool tat that you got? Let me tell you about my time in college, you know. Hey, wouldn't you, I'm just saying, like, sign me up for something like that. Instead, he picked something very intimate, very personal. So here's the deal. Theologically, I'm going to give you the distilled version. It indicated to Abraham and all of his offspring, all of his descendants, okay, that there was a defilement of the flesh. You're like, Sherry, that's kind of a weird statement. What does that mean? There is a sinful nature. How many people know we as humans, we have a sinful nature? We like to sin. Even when we tell ourselves, Paul wrestled with it. He's like, I don't want to do it, but I do want to do it. But I don't want to do it, but I do want to do it. I did want to do it. I did it. Then I felt bad. Now I don't want to do it, but I did it again next weekend. Welcome to your 20s and probably the rest of your life. Okay, we don't like sin, but we do like sin. We do, but we don't always like the consequences because we mess up our lives and hurt people and ourselves. Okay. So this was a symbol of the defilement of our sinful nature, right? That, ready, needed to be cut off. Our sinful nature, the part of me that enjoys doing things that hurt myself and hurt other people and mess up my life, needs to be cut off, okay? Or mankind would remain, remember, this is the sign, or mankind will remain impure and out of the covenant of God. Okay, this is all pointing to Jesus. So the particular body part that God used emphasized the sinful nature. Why? This was what Abraham used to help God out in a way that was outside the marriage covenant. Hello? Okay? It was a reminder that, like, hey, it was his way that he stepped into sin to help God out. Okay? It was a part of him that was used for a sexual relationship outside of marriage. Okay, that probably the servant was not happy about. Okay, this also represents the area of life which Abe resorted to fulfilling God's purposes in his own strength. Now we can kind of relate to this. I like helping God. I like doing it my way and my timing with my brilliant ideas that are so much better than him. We don't say it out loud, but we think it because that's how we pray. But our best efforts and our best plans often fail. Anyone? Come on. I got great plans for my life. I had wonderful plans for my 20s and 30s, and they all went. But God, isn't he so good? He redeemed it better than I ever could have possibly imagined. Amen. Our best plans fail. Our own strength fails, right? It's not our job to bring about the promises of God. It's God's job. Our job is to stand in faith. We got the easier part. He's got the work part. I don't got to work for it. I need to receive it by faith. Our job is the faith part. What are those road signs saying? Hey, keep in faith. There's Mickey D's. Well, I'm not a big Mickey D's fan. Anyway, Burger King, Whopper, we'll go for it. You know when you're real hungry? All the time. I am always hungry. I'm not even pregnant to like have the excuse of I'm always thinking about food. Okay? So when I'm on a road trip and it's taking a long time and you know like you're extra hungry, right? And you start seeing these signs. Okay, be patient. Be patient. You know what I mean? I know those combos in the back are great, but listen, be patient. The Whopper's coming, okay? It's a sign pointing to the final destination. Okay? Stop trying to help God out. I got you. The Whopper's coming. Disneyland's coming. Hershey Park's coming. You follow me. All right. Our job is to hold on to God and our faith in him and keep close in our relationship. What did he require of Abraham? I want your whole heart. You stick close to me. You keep talking to me. That's the you part. Keep the switch of faith on. We often want to turn our switch of faith off because things take too long. It's not our way. It's not timing. And life is hard and people are jerks. Cut me off. So he gave him a sign that you cannot forget of what God's job is to fulfill his promise. And your job is to hold on to faith and stay in close relationship. And when you stay in a close relationship with God, talking to him and reading the word, your faith grows. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. All right, so with Abraham, this circumcision was an act of repentance. It was a sign of dependence on God and also to all of his descendants in him. Ready? It was also a sign that his seed, follow me, his descendant would be the Messiah, Jesus. So no matter how hard life got, enslaved in Egypt, oppressed by nations, taken into slavery. Don't worry, I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming because I'm faithful to perform my word no matter how hard it is. Guys, life is hard. Raise your hand if you've been through some hard things, losses, heartaches. You might still be grieving. I still miss my dad. Hold on. Keep your switch of faith on. He is faithful to perform his word. This is a sign of a contract meant to remind generations and generations to come. Hold on. I'm coming. I will take the burden off of your back. You are a slave to sin, but I'm sending my son to set you free. And guess what? When I come, you don't need that road sign anymore because you're at the final destination, y'all. Get out, get your Whopper. We're going to Hershey Park. But it had to come in the new covenant, in the New Testament. Genesis 17:14. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. 14, any male who fails to be circumcised, now this is interesting, people take this out of context, will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. All right, this is where legalists get it all twisted. Don't you just love religion getting it all twisted? Because they make it about the outward show and not about the heart. It started with Abraham. It was all about Abraham's heart of faith, not his perfection, right? So the curse of, ready for this, rejecting the covenant, we learned last week it was a foolproof, right? You just stick with Jesus. Jesus will die for you. You're going to mess up. It's okay. Just, ready, stick with him. Keep your faith in God. It was a foolproof. So where did the curse come from? The only curse that you step in is when you reject God himself. Now here's the thing. The sign of the covenant. Now this is like the whole thing, ready? It was just a road sign, circumcision. God says this, hey, believe in me, and if you believe in me, you're going to take this sign. If you have faith on me, just take the sign as a reminder that I will not fail you. So ready for this? In the culture with Abraham, it was a sign. If you refused the sign. You were all, it was just a symbol. Excuse me for saying this. This might be a little too much, but I'll say this. Hey, when you reject someone, you sometimes give them a sign. Okay? When you rejected the covenant of God, you didn't take the sign of the covenant. So ready for this? God wasn't rejecting them. You're saying, hey, if you're with God, if you're with serving the God of Abraham, here's the sign. And hey, if I don't want to stick with God, I don't want to stick with Abraham, forget you and your sign, I'm not taking it. You cut yourself off. Oh, it's just a sign. You got me? Okay. The sign of circumcision was a significant scarlet cord. It was all pointing to Jesus. It was just a faithful response. Does that make sense? It was all about faith. We were saved by what? Faith in Jesus. Abraham, ready, was saved, protected, provided for, and all of his descendants, if they just kept their faith and followed the Lord. Okay, here's the problem. Later on, how many people know generations later, we just get really good at like going through the motions and acting like our faith in God, and really we're just following the God of our parents to church so we can go to Hosses afterwards? So what happened were generations later, centuries later, they were taking the sign of the covenant, right? They got their little badge, they got their little tattoo, right? They got their circumcision saying, yeah, I want the blessing of God. I want the benefits. I want his protection and provision. But I want to do life my way, okay? So what was original sin with Adam and Eve? They wanted to live life their way, but they wanted the benefits. They wanted to eat of the tree, right? And that was the hook. That was what Satan got in their head. Hey, you don't need God for your source of love, joy, peace, purpose, fulfillment. You can be your own God. You can do life your way. So what there was, they were then cut off from the tree, right? Cain killed Abel. He was cut off from city life. He had to wander, all right? Let's see, there's so much. Thank you, Lord. All right. Abraham's household. Abraham was obedient to the Lord. He believed God, right? He already had the covenant. He's like, you know what? I think I need a sign because I'm forgetting and I'm making some messes. And I know my kids are going to really mess up. Anybody know your kids are probably going to mess up? Listen, I was raised by wonderful parents. They weren't perfect, but they did their best and I made some mess ups, right? But God covered me because I kept my faith in him, right? All right. So he knew, he's like, you know, my kids are probably going to mess up. Read the story, especially of Jacob, who God named Israel after. Come on. That's another story. He said, okay, so we're going to do the sign. I'm going to put some road signs all the way down so they can't forget our final destination. They can't forget. God's got us. So he circumcised his whole household, and man, no one forgot that day, did they? Okay, and maybe they didn't quite understand. Maybe it got a little lost in translation. Like, listen, Abraham, you're like real passionate about this God of yours, and we're following you who's following him, okay? So, ouch. But guess what then happened? Isaac was born. What? 100 years old. What? And they saw a miracle child that was born. And then all of a sudden they went, oh, everybody go, oh, I get it now. You did a miracle. So this was a sign of what was to come. And this is a sign of a Messiah that's to come. This is a sign of God's protection and provision. This is a sign that he's going to take a man from nothing and nowhere. With no one. And I'll give you everything. I'll make a nation out of you. He came from nothing, and it was a sign from generation to generation of the glory of God, of look what he did from nothing. And he created something so mind-blowingly glorious, and it all points to him. Because they didn't strive to make it happen. All right. So once again, unfortunately, over the centuries, many Jews began to trust more in the sign, the road sign. They started trusting more in the sign than in God himself. And this is where religious legalism comes. They start trusting more in their looks. Look at my suit and my 20-pound Bible. Look how I talk in the King James translation when I prophesy. Thou shalt do this and that. And look, I don't wear any makeup. Sorry, I like it. Whatever, okay? Fighting a little bit of a cold here, okay? You know, whatever. Do you. Listen, you don't like makeup, don't wear it. I like it. I like 4-inch heels. I just, you know, I'm carrying a baby. Be yourself, okay? Forget all the religious legalism. Throw it out. I could really dive into it, but we don't have time. It's all about your whole heart, right? He just wants your whole heart. Unfortunately, his generations got off track, and they said, let's just look good. Let's be really good at looking good. Let's be grade A fakers. Let's be really good at being two-faced. And I'm going to trust more and just take it, put the tattoo on. All right, I'm in the club. How many people know that you can get a tattoo that you're in a certain military unit and never served in that military unit? So you can get some honor and credit. Not cool. They took the sign. And they decided to have faith in the sign of looking good on the outside instead of faith in him. And they started trusting in religious legalism to save them and not a relationship in him. Their faith, they detached their faith. All right, Paul really goes after this toxic thought in Galatians chapter 5 and in Romans, I think, 4. And we'll cover it if we have time. All right, so Moses started to see this. This is generations later, right? 400 years later, I think longer. Moses started to see that they're getting off track. They started following God externally, but their hearts were what? Far from him. Circumcision is an outward sign of an internal commitment in your heart. And Moses started noticing they're rolling through the motions. You know, they're up front, you know, and they're clapping on beat even. Whoa, they're even clapping on beat. They got that cheesy, you know, hey, welcome to your Christian fellowship. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo, I'm into it. They're going through the motions, man. I got the hoedown kick. But ready for this? How many people like myself struggle with thinking about all the weight and the stresses? I have to get myself on track. I'm the pastor. Do you know how distracted I get just in the natural? I wasn't diagnosed with anything, okay? I fight distractions. And so while I'm clapping, I have to go, no, Lord, wait a minute. Ugh, stay out of your head of all the things you need to do and the weird text. Someone, don't send me weird texts right before I preach, y'all. Love you. Good test. All right? And go, wait, nope. I do this all the time. God, no, you are holy. You're worthy. You're my first love. So I'm not saying don't worship on the outside. I'm just saying fight to keep your heart. Fight to keep your heart fully present, wholehearted with him. Okay? Moses started seeing this, right? So he said this, Deuteronomy 10, and this is the point. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 16. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Fear the Lord. That means to honor him, reverence him with your whole heart, right? To walk in all of his ways. Stay vitally connected to God. Walk with him. This is what God's requiring of you. And to love him. He wants your whole heart. To serve the Lord your God, ready? With all your heart and all your soul, to keep his commandments, because if you're hanging out with him, you're going to just do things that honor him. I'm not going to be a jerk to my husband while I'm hanging right next to him, you know? You get tempted when you're not hanging out. Okay, says this. And to keep my commandments and my statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. It's a natural overflow of hanging out with him. Behold, verse 14, behold, to the Lord your God belong the heaven and the heavens, and the heaven of heavens, and the earth is all that it is. Sorry. Yet the Lord set his heart in love with your fathers. God, he's saying, I loved Abraham. We hung out. I loved his kids. We hung out. I love you, but we ain't hanging out. Let's get back to hanging out. And he chose all your offspring after him. He's choosing you. You love him because he first loved us. You above all people as you have this day. Now he says this, ready? Circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. Don't get stuck on all the beginning. Context. I want your whole heart. Circumcise your heart. I want your heart. Cut off the distractions. Cut off the religion. Cut off the game. Stop gaming me. Stop acting like, we cool. Those are the people that are like really nice to your face. Love you, love you, love you. And then they talk bad about you. Cut it out. I want your heart. And it says, be no longer stubborn. Okay. They got stubborn, they were grumping, and they were complaining, and all they wanted was God to do it their way, their timing in the wilderness. And I think I get, understand why, right? All right, it's not about oh, there's so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep reading. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart, the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Moses is reminding them, it's not about the external road sign. It's not about the badge that you put on your arm to say you're in the club. It's not about your little suit and your 20-pound Bible and amen, glory to God, and using all the catchphrase terms. It's where's your heart at? Get your heart right. He wants your whole heart. Jeremiah reminds him later, and this is when they're in exile, because what they like started, you know, they had the external sign, but their hearts were far from him. They were cheating on God all the time, doing creepy stuff with idols and weird sexual practices, but they're like, oh, but we're saved because we have the badge. We have the mark. Okay? Jeremiah says this, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your heart, you people of Judah. Surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the Lord. Get your heart right. It's just a sign of your commitment. All right? Our salvation is by faith in Jesus alone. Our salvation is because we choose to have a relationship with him. It's not because you got a tattoo or you have the silver cross around your neck. Right? How many people know you can wear the jewelry, you can put the ring on, you know? But if your heart's far from him, okay? Colossians 2. Now let's go to the New Testament. Colossians 2:11. In him, Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Whoa. Jesus is our circumcision. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed the spiritual circumcision. Ready for this? Cutting away your sinful nature. I'm going to skip like four pages and go to the last page. You guys want to stick with me right here? Okay. If we keep reading, this is the gospel. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins, all of them. The big ones, the small ones, the embarrassing ones. He took the shame. He canceled the debt. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus provided the true circumcision of the cross. New Living Translation says this, Christ performed, ready, spiritual circumcision. What is this? This is the cord. This is the thing that wiped. This is the pointer. This is the sign that says, hey, it was just a natural sign. It was a tattoo. It was a badge that you couldn't forget. That Jesus cut away your sinful nature. He transformed you by the power of grace. Grace is the Greek word charis. It means God's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in your life. You hang out with Jesus and his word. You put your faith in Jesus. I am saved by faith in Jesus alone. Not because I'm perfect, because there ain't a perfect one in here. And if you're really good at acting like it, he is calling you out. Stop trying to act like a certain religious stuffy person that projects all your rules, all your culture on everybody else around you because you want to control them and make them in your image to feel powerful. Get your heart right, y'all. It's all about faith in him. And when you hang out with him, what he says, Abraham, be blameless. Keep walking with me. Keep talking with me. I will transform you in my image. I'm going to what? Cut off your sinful nature. Grace is God's divine DNA. It is his character and nature freely received in your life. And he, ready for this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Anybody with me? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Heroes in a Half Shell, Total Power. I listen every day. I watch Batman. and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Listen, they became mutants, right? Something changed their DNA. You'll never forget this. Grace is when you start hanging out with him and God infuses you with his DNA and it transforms you into his image. It's not about the tattoo. Stop faking it. Just give your whole heart to him. Just hang out with him. You'll be transformed into his image. Circumcision was just a sign. It went to the New Testament. And Paul said this clearly. Go study it out. In Galatians 5, Romans 4, you don't need to be circumcised. Don't try to change the look. Don't worry about the look. It was so cross-cultural at that time. Listen, everybody, the whole church was flooded with people that weren't Jews. Praise God. I'm there because of them. So stop trying to look like a Jew. You don't need the shofar. You don't need the prayer shawl. You don't need the whatever. And we respect them. That's their culture, right? You be you. But guess what? You be you too. Keep your heart with him. You don't need to change yourself. That's what Paul said. You've been set free. Jesus fulfilled the curse of the law. Jesus got circumcised, so you didn't have to. I got plenty of scripture. Ready? Jesus, he was cut. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was pierced for our transgressions, for our sinful nature. He was cut for us. He fulfilled the curse of the law for us. All that's required of us is keep your faith in Jesus. We are saved. When you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you will be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It all points to him. You don't need to get circumcised. You don't need to dress a certain way. You don't need to act a certain way. You don't need to do what all the religious people say is what you need to look like. It's all about your heart. And when you hang out with him, oh, wow, you smell like Jesus. You smell like unity, peace, love, joy, and the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was cut off for you. So you didn't have to be. My God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus took all your sin. He cut off your sinful nature. When you put your faith in Jesus, your sinful nature got nailed to him on the cross. And he was cut off for you temporarily for the first time in his life, and it broke him. God doesn't cut you off. You cut him off when you walk away from him. Do you hear me? Now, listen, don't get all twisty on this one. Just for here, when you put your faith in Jesus, ask for forgiveness for your sins. We all have problems, right? And then you say this, God, I thank you for your grace, your divine DNA, which will transform me into your image, right? I am saved by faith alone. I am saved by faith alone. You're not cut off. Jesus will never what? Leave you or forsake you. Keep your faith in Jesus. All right, let's stand up and pray. So ready for this? You're like, okay, Pastor Sherry, this is good. And we'll do it later, but I'll say this. If you need a revelation of how to call on the name of the Lord, ready? We got the sign on our heart, right? I gave my heart to Jesus. I believe and I have confessed. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm with you, Lord God. I'm on your team, whether you got the tattoo or not. You don't need the tattoo. His tattoo is on your heart. No one needs to see it. Thank God. Okay, here we go. So what about the bat signal? But God, I'm being attacked. But God, it doesn't feel good. But God, people are jerks to me and they're Christians. But God, and he goes, hey, that's okay, put the signal out. We'll talk about it later. Ready for this? Jesus, I call upon your name. And you're going to activate your part of the covenant that's going to come protect me, provide for me, save me, heal me, set me free. And I'll tell you this, we'll talk about it later. Pleading the blood of Jesus is a powerful way to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for a revelation of your covenant promises, a revelation of what it means to be circumcised in our heart, to be wholehearted followers of you. Lord, change us into your image. Lord, we thank you for your divine DNA, your grace moving through our body, transforming us into your image to represent you well. And Lord, I thank you that we're not going to get stuck on trying to look a certain way, talk a certain way to fulfill religious legalistic laws and people pressure. Lord, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to hang out with you. And I'm going to let you transform me by the power of your grace to be more like you, Jesus, and represent you well. And I plead the blood of Jesus over myself and my family for your protection, your provision, Lord God, your healing power. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. You are loved. Hang out with someone. If you need prayer, if I could get some grow group.